Well, good morning.
It's good to see you, man. How many of you know Wales Goble? Well, that's not a country, by the way. And it doesn't have anything to do with saving whales, as in the sea animal. So we've had all kind of folks try to guess as what exactly is the Wales Goble ministry, but Wales Goble is an evangelist. He started the Wales Goble ministry in 1967, and he started, I remember, at Berry High School when I was a student, but I was not a Christian. And in 1972, when I came to know Christ as my Savior, 1971, I met Wales a couple of weeks after that, and he had, at that time, a radio show called Impact. Hello, my name is Wales Goble. Welcome to our radio show, Impact. And he would have young people come and give their testimony, and so he had myself and another fellow that had come to know the Lord at the same time. He had us to come by and give our testimony on the radio show, and then he took us to lunch. And so I've always said that I was like an old stray dog. Wales fed me, and I hadn't left yet, you know. So in 1972, while I was still a student at Southeastern Bible College, he allowed me to work with the ministry and continue my education, and finally got the degree out of Southeastern in 79. Took a while, but have been there since 1972. And of course, our ministry has transitioned over the years, originally founded with the idea of reaching young people in high schools, and then as the high school ministry began to shut down because of legal issues and government things, we sort of transitioned into other ministries. In 1980, Wales had a burden to start Save a Life, which is now under CareNet, I believe, nationally, and they have many different chapters. And then Lifeline Adoption Services began in 1981. And Lifeline Village, and then there's an abstinence ministry called SAFE. And then Wales, about 10 years ago, started Cry of Africa. So he's been at it for all these years, now 86 years old, and he's like the fellow that was the tour guide for mountain climbing. They had on his tombstone the epitaph, "He died climbing." So Wales will be dying climbing. He's not going to stop. But he, 10 years ago, also turned over the ministry that we continue to have, because we're not Save a Life. Because I have people ask me, you know, when I say I work with Wales Goble Ministry, if they know Wales, they'll say, "Well, what do you do with Save a Life?" Well, I don't do anything with Save a Life. Because Save a Life, Wales did this about 10 years ago. He started getting all the ministries set up autonomous from one another, their own boards, they all have their own 501c3, and so that way, legally, there's protection, but also it's less stress on one individual. He's the only one who could raise money for all those different ministries, and so now they're responsible. So the Wales Goble Ministry is still the Wales Goble Ministry, but we have transitioned into different arms of outreach. And our philosophy is still evangelism, discipleship, and teaching the Word of God wherever and however we can. And so presently we have about 13 staff, two of whom work in Colombia as their nationals and their church planners, one in Bogota and one in Santa Marta. And so I've been going twice a year to help train other nationals there to be equipped to preach the Word of God and to plant churches and pastor. And so that's an ongoing ministry that began in 2004 and continues, and we don't know exactly where it's headed, but the Lord is continuing to use these two men and others now that have been trained. And so that's a real prayer request that there are three areas that specifically there's property available. The church there in Bogota owns the property. It's called Renacer Church, which means born again. And so they own property in a little place called Ambolima. And it's near the Magdalena River. It is about 4 hours south of Bogota. And they have property that's owned by the church, and they want to start a church there. And they have a couple that's praying about going out from the church and being the church planters along with another couple. So that's one prayer request that I would mention. And then they have other properties. Someone in the church donated some land that's sort of going north from Bogota. And there's potential for a church plant there as well. But nationally, we're still here and we're still doing work in terms of teaching Bible studies and discipling individuals. And we have a man who works with Hispanics in the Birmingham area, and he's planted a church down in Alabaster, and they're in the process of moving to Oak Mountain Prez, the Harvest House. He has also headed up the soccer ministry there at the Harvest House. He'll have 500 Hispanics on Sunday afternoon, and he gets to share the gospel with them. That's Octavio Samper. He was originally born in Medellin, Colombia, and family came here when he was 9 years old, and he's a citizen, and he has all these Hispanic people that he ministers to each week and shares Christ with. And then we have another man, that Bill Stroop, who shares with Japanese people, and they have an English class. They'll have one today, as a matter of fact, here at Briarwood with many of the ladies who are Honda executive wives. And they are trying to build relationships and share Christ with them. And we have women's ministry, and the main ministry I'm involved in is overseeing the staff, but also counseling and helping in Colombia. And counseling is really what I'd like to just share with you a little bit about as we wrap up here. And just to begin, let me tell you a story that Tony Evans has shared. A fellow went to see a therapist, a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said, "Well, sir, why are you here?" And he says, "Well, doc, every time I go into a grocery store, I tend to walk down the dog food aisle, and I want to eat some dog food." And so the doc says, "Well, that's pretty strange. I haven't had a case like that ever. How long has this been going on?" He said, "Well, ever since I was a puppy." Well, now, that doctor could do one of two things. He could say to him, "Well, here's a prescription. Take this medication so maybe you won't be tempted to eat dog food." Or he could say to him, "You're not a puppy. You're a man. Act like it." And so I use that by way of illustration to say that a lot of times people that I see, they're having an identity crisis. They come in and they may know that they're saved, but their concept of how the Christian life works is really skewed. They have a sense that they're just this dirty, rotten sinner who's living under this continual condemnation under law, that they've got to try to own up and man up and be this good little Christian, and they keep failing, and so they keep beating themselves up. And basically, they're continuing to be tempted with the dog food, because I believe that as we think about who we are, it determines how we behave. So if I tell myself I'm a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, guess what? I'm setting myself up to fail. But what does the Bible say? Well, Paul says to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:2, he calls that church saints. Now, that's the worst church morally in the New Testament, in my opinion, in terms of the division they had, the immorality, drunkenness at the Lord's table. They were a mess. And he didn't start out saying, "Hey, you dirty, rotten sinners at Corinth." He started out saying, "You're saints." The rest of the letter is to say, "You're not acting right. You're not acting like who you are." And so I say that to emphasize that my counseling model is to basically teach people who they are in Christ so that they begin to behave according to who they are. That if we are truly new creatures in Christ, what does that mean? The cross ended that old life. I'm no longer connected to Adam in terms of that old life. I'm connected to Christ, and I have His indwelling presence, and I can walk in the power of the Spirit of God and have victory over the flesh and the deeds of the flesh moment by moment as I appropriate His power. So a lot of people that come to see me, whether they're having problems with anger, marriage crises, depression, or whatever, that's where we begin, because if they don't get that, then how are you going to rectify these issues that are troubling you? And so people today are enslaved with all kinds of issues, and a lot of it is related to having a victim mentality. They've been raised in pretty severe circumstances, and you wouldn't wish that on anybody. But there is power to forgive. There's power to walk in the truth of who we are in Christ rather than live out of the identity of that victim mentality. See? And so that's kind of the way we approach counseling, and also do counseling training and have been involved in that for the last 4 or 5 years, as well as taking this model of counseling to a conference level. It's called Grace for Living. There's some brochures on the display table at the Wells Goble Ministry display there. And that is really just using this method of counseling to share with people in a group setting what it means to walk by faith, what it means to have victory over the power of sin in our life, how that can be appropriated, and how we can understand who we are in Christ and quit eating the dog food and walk in the reality of being a saint rather than beating ourselves up or living under just a bunch of rules and regulations to try to manufacture sanctification, to really incorporate grace in the process of sanctification. So that's the main focus of my ministry, and you know, you see both kinds of things happen. Just recently there was a couple that I met with that were having marriage issues. The husband had been unfaithful, and both of these people were believers, but neither understood who they were in Christ, and they were trying to tread through this circumstance that had happened because of the husband's infidelity. And the wife wanted somehow to make it work, but she didn't have the capacity, of course, to be able to handle this. He was separated at that point. And over time, in meeting with them, they began to understand that they're not puppies, that they're saints. They began to work through forgiveness issues. And praise the Lord, we met for the last time just last week. I said, you folks don't need me anymore. If something comes up, I'm here for you. But, you know, and it took 8 weeks. So God did that. It was a miracle. Now, you look at the other side, there are not always those kinds of wonderful, glowing victories. Because there was a couple that came who were living together. They were not married. And the man was not a Christian. I think he came to Christ, or at least I thought he did, during our session. But eventually, I had to address the issue that you folks either need to do one of two things. You either need to get married or you need to stop living together because this is inappropriate. Well, that was our last session. So you share the truth and you trust the consequences in the hands of the Lord. So we see a number of people each week, and it sometimes it's pretty dirty what you see in this world today. One of the most common elements I've learned now to ask is, have you ever been sexually abused? Everybody, it seems, has been through that now. So it's a terrible plight that we're experiencing in our country here. So thank you for allowing me to share, and look forward to getting to talk with you individually. Yes, sir?
Is there a charge to see you?
No. That's one of the things that we have been able to do because of Briarwood support and other individuals and churches, that we've offered our counseling no charge. Now, we tell people if you want to give a donation, we won't turn you down. But we have a lot of people who can't afford even to pay. So it's been a blessing, because I've been counseling now for over 30 years. So that's been a blessing to be able to do that. And my wife helps some, because when I meet with women individually, my wife will meet with me. And you can pray for my daughter, actually. She's in Chicago. Today, she's supposed to have a baby. And my wife's up there with her. And so we were changing flights last night because she was supposed to have it Saturday. Well, baby didn't cooperate. So we had to lengthen my wife's stay.